Hey everyone, how's it going? My name is Matt Jarbo. Welcome back to another episode of Milk Carton Mysteries. Today is episode number 53, and there is some wild, crazy stuff to talk about. We're going to be going over some stories about bodies that are being found in odd locations. One in a laundry bag, one floating in a plastic container. But where the laundry bag was discovered is in Philadelphia, and there has been quite a number of bodies stuffed into odd contraptions over the span of just 2020 alone. So we're going to be touching on a few of those things. And of course, the FBI is now seeking more information on the Alonzo Brooks murder after the success of the Unsolved Mysteries episode about him, and they're offering up a reward, so we're going to be breaking down all that stuff. Here's what I need from you guys. If you are listening to this on iTunes or on Spotify or Google Podcasts or hopefully one day Stitcher, do me a favor and hit that subscribe. Hit that button, because that's the best way to help support the channel and the show if you want to do that. If you're watching this on YouTube, I appreciate it. Hit that like. Leave a comment. Most importantly, I want to hear your theories about everything else. And so right now, I'm currently getting ready to launch the Instagram. A lot more going on there. That's Instagram.com/MilkCartonCast. I would love for there to be synergy across the board with the names. Unfortunately, other people have taken them, and so I have to kind of work around that. So if you want to help support the show that way, the podcast that way, I say channel because I'm a YouTuber. So that's like just right. I always go. And then, of course, if you want to support the show financially, the best way to do that would be go over to patreon.com/Matt Jarbo. And you can select a tier there and help out. Really, really, really appreciate it, because I really like talking to you guys, and I'd love to make this more of a full-time thing. So I know I got to earn your trust. That's not going to change. I understand how this whole thing works. But in the meantime, let's talk about some absolutely crazy effed up news, because that's why you're here. Because I bring you guys those kind of stories, because that's how I roll. That's what I find to be interesting. And of course, you can always head over to facebook.com/groups/TheMilkCarton if you want to send me any stories to cover, or you can always email me at milkcartonmyst, M-Y-S-T, at gmail.com. I appreciate everything. I know I don't want to do too long of a lead-in, so let's go right into it right here. So for the first episode, the first story of the day, the first episode, I am really out of it. We're going to be talking about a body found in a laundry bag on the curb in Philadelphia. Of course, bodies are being discovered everywhere right now. What we're dealing with in regards to COVID is a massive increase in suicide. And while this story, in my opinion, because a body being found in a laundry bag probably wasn't there on their own, I do think we're seeing an increase in drug usage, which might be a reason why some of these things are happening, but it's just something to keep in mind. So here's what we know. The Philly police are investigating a homicide. So this is a homicide. This isn't like a person having died from an overdose or whatever. Now, after a body was found in a laundry bag on a Philadelphia street this last Friday, now witnesses say that the person who discovered the body was walking down the street when they spotted a leg coming out of the laundry bag. They also told the news that the bag had been on the curb for at least 2 days. And police are saying that it's not clear if the person was male or female, as the body was mutilated and witnesses say that there was no head. Now, interestingly enough on that front, there was a story out of Mali, a small country in Africa, where in the last 2 years, they've had situations like this where you've had beheadings and bloodletting. So they find a victim, no head, just the torso, and all the blood has been drained. Beheadings are still a thing. Creepy, absolutely creepy. So this person, they don't know if it's male or female because the body was mutilated. And there's, like I said, there are a lot of these kind of things happening in and around Philadelphia that have some people wondering if there is a new serial killer running through Philly. So here's how police describe the body. That it was a small-framed, brown-complexion person. Some homes nearby have security cameras, but the news was unable to locate any that could potentially have an idea for maybe what happened here. So let's quickly kind of speculate, and then we're going to talk about the other cases in Philly. So here's what I'm thinking. If you have a person who's in a body bag or in a laundry bag, not even a body bag, but in a laundry bag, and they have it out there for 2 days, that's pretty bad, right? That's pretty bad. But then again, I live in the woods, like legitimately live in the woods. And I see dead deer all the time, you know? So it's kind of like if you're used to just seeing something that would be out of the ordinary in other places, but it's ordinary where you live, it's something that you might consider. And I say that because just a few months ago, back in July, they found a woman's body in a plastic container in Philadelphia. And this had been wrapped in saran wrap and left out there for a couple of days. I covered it here on the show, but I wanted to make sure that you guys got more information on it. So let's take a look here at this news report to get you a bit caught up on that story.
Yeah, the discovery was made around 9 o'clock this morning, right over there behind me on that corner here at 31st and Wharton. According to a police source, detectives believe two men dropped out that body. Now, the critical question is, how did she die? A man made the gruesome discovery inside this plastic bin. You can see the plastic wrap peeled back on one end, where witnesses say he was looking to see inside when he found the body and the awful odor emanating from inside.
I seen a man over there, but I didn't see what he was doing, but I started hearing something like tearing, whatever. And then the cop drove up from the stop sign, and I guess the man must have smelled the odor and stopped the cop.
I seen it yesterday. I kept looking at it. It looked real strange, and I'm like, why is that container wrapped up like that?
The crime scene unit took the body to the medical examiner's office, where an autopsy is expected to be completed tomorrow. Police know little about the victim. The body appears to be that of a black woman. A source says it was not badly decomposed. Now detectives need to figure out if the woman is the victim of a homicide or some other unfortunate circumstance. They're working to retrieve surveillance video and believe the body was...
Yeah. So as you can tell, they don't know. And I looked into it. They still don't know what's going on with the story. This woman was found wrapped in saran wrap, put in like a $5 plastic Walmart bin, and left on a Philadelphia street corner. Now we have another body in a laundry bag that's been sitting out there for a couple days before it was even discovered. And like I said, it's not the only time. So earlier this year, we had this story come out of Philadelphia where there was a body of a missing teenager found in a bin in South Philadelphia amid human trafficking investigation. Now this got me thinking. All right, this got me thinking that this young girl, trafficking situation, that's a big problem in this country. So is this something that's potentially going on? Well, there's a new story on that, so let's take a listen.
That's right, Brian. As you mentioned, authorities just released the name of the victim here. This is still the talk of the neighborhood. As you mentioned, a law enforcement source telling us she is 18-year-old Erin Schweikert, who was reported missing late last year. We're told someone is likely to face abuse of corpse charges. We're also told that no one notified authorities Erin's body was here. Instead, they just left her body in the basement. It was a disturbing revelation of what lurked inside the walls in the 2100 block of West Porter Street that has rattled this community.
I was shocked, primarily, the type of act that was committed.
Thursday night, Philadelphia police and the sheriff's office say they discovered a woman's body inside a plastic bin. The remains badly decomposed. A law enforcement source telling Action News the victim has been identified as missing 18-year-old Erin Schweikert. Police say she was last seen in late September in the 2300 block of South Lee Street. This morning, Acting Police Commissioner Christine Coulter, who stopped by the home, said there was no way anyone inside couldn't have known the body was there.
There was obviously a distinct odor of decomposing, so it would have been, if you're in a house with a decomposing body, that's going on.
Sheriff's deputies were serving a warrant at the home for robbery. Philadelphia police and the Special Victims Unit were with them, acting on a tip about possible human trafficking. Five people were taken into custody. Neighbors that we spoke with said they felt something was amiss inside the home, but nothing to the extent of what police found.
I just heard rumors about this particular family. Rumors always flow around.
That same law enforcement source tells Action News the investigation so far has revealed the 18-year-old may have died of an overdose.
Nobody wants to see anybody die, especially the young. 18, she's a baby.
Now, okay, the reason why I played that clip is because They're talking about the idea of it being potentially human trafficking. Her body was there for many days. It was in a bin. There was clear decomposition, advanced stages of decomposition. People would have known, and people were arrested and charged with tampering with evidence and abuse of a corpse and stuff, which is good. But the idea there about there being drug overdose, that could play into these particular scenarios. Now, not the first one, not this new one where the body was severely mutilated. I think that is something horribly different. But as we get more and more of these tales out of Philadelphia, and I understand that Philadelphia is a big city. I understand that there are pockets of Philadelphia that are maybe more kind of segregated to themselves. And what I mean by that is like people move to a neighborhood and generally keep to that neighborhood. In San Diego, where I lived for 15 years, it was very similar to that. You would know what to expect by going into different neighborhoods because people generally tended to keep to themselves. And from what I've been told about Philadelphia, that's very similar. So these may or may not be connected, but I do think in some ways there's a little bit too much here that is just not, I don't know, something about this is, there's an overlap in some ways. I can't put my finger on it yet, which is why I wanted to kind of talk it through on this segment of the show. However, I want to hear your thoughts and your opinions on this because quite frankly, I don't know what the hell's going on. And it's frightening that so many bodies have found their way into bins in Philadelphia. And I really hope the police are able to put this thing together sooner rather than later, because the last thing 2020 needs is another psychotic killer roaming around Philadelphia. Well, a psychotic killer. We already got COVID doing its thing, but the last thing we need is an actual murderer who likes to stuff people into bins and leave them on street corners for random people to find. It's terrible. But as always, I want to hear your thoughts on it because maybe you know something I don't, and I'd love to hear it. All right. So why don't we jump over to the next story here? This is, again, I'm keeping on track with what that first story. And that, of course, is talking about a man is found naked and shot to death in a plastic bin floating in a Florida retention pond. That's right. Jacksonville, Florida man. It's always a Florida man. Is dead after now police are investigating the unidentified body as it was discovered by a local man just walking by. Because, of course, you know, you're out for the morning, you're out walking your dog, you're out, you know, going for your morning stroll, trying to avoid crocodiles and everything else that's not you that wants to kill you in Florida. And you just happen to look over and you see a body. And I mean, literally look at this here. If you're watching this on YouTube, it's a Gator. It's like a Gatorade container that you would see in a sports movie. You know, when they win the championship and they dump the Gatorade on the coach, it's that kind of container, at least according to the image provided by the news. And I mean, how would a body even fit in there? I have so many questions, but let's jump into the story. So authorities in Florida are currently investigating the death of a man whose body was found in a plastic container floating in a pond. So far, this happened on Sunday morning of this week. Jacksonville resident Tim Anderson was walking his dog near the retention pond in the Windy Hill Community Center when he saw something floating in the water. Now, he told the news that he goes, "This morning, I come out here and I saw a bin floating out there by the water. I said, what is that? Let me go out there and take a look. And upon further inspection, he realized that it was, in fact, a body." Now, he goes on to say here that, "I was hoping it wasn't what I thought it was, and it turned out to be. I thought it might have been a dummy or something stuck in there because of some kids just playing around or something. But as I got closer up and I said, oh, that looks pretty real to me." And from there, he contacted the cops who went out there and did their investigation. And they believed that the body was dumped in the pond within the previous 24 to 36 hours. So clearly, this is a person who was killed for whatever reason. I mean, he was shot multiple times. At this point, probably something drug related. Now, Mr. Anderson, the guy who found the body, does finish up here by saying, "It's a rough world we live in right now. A lot of killing, a lot of violence this time of year. And it's sad to know that it happened and that somebody would actually bring somebody and dump them like that. It's kind of depressing." Look, I'm not trying to be a dick, but Tim, Mr. Anderson, you live in Florida. The rest of the country looks at you like America's dick. we legitimately like love Florida man stories because of how crazy things get in your state. So yes, I understand that this is depressing. But the question that becomes, how did a man, an unidentified man at this point, they still haven't identified him, end up in a plastic drink container floating in a retention pond for 24 to 36 hours? And no one out there noticed it until he would happen to be walking by. So, okay, let's go into, tinfoil hat mode, speculation mode. This is what I do. Most likely a drug deal, okay? Most likely a drug deal. Something bad happened. The victim was unfortunately shot and killed. And the people needed to dispose of the body. So what they did is they found a container they could put him in. And they probably thought if they dump it into the pond, that it would just sink to the bottom. And honest to God, most of these criminals out there that do this kind of thing, they don't understand how like oxygen works or how flotation works or physics work in some cases. And they probably just watch a lot of the stuff on TV and think, oh yeah, I could totally put it in there. It's just going to sink. And it's possible that it did sink for a while until it didn't, until maybe it positioned itself in a certain way where it just floated back to the top. And then people didn't see it until Mr. Anderson was walking his dog Rufus in the morning and happened across something that he saw that was out of the ordinary and went to go investigate. And I'll tell you guys this, as a true crime aficionado, as a fan of a lot of this stuff, and ever since I've been doing this show myself, things catch my eye now a lot more. Things catch my eye and I'm like driving down the freeway and I'll see something on the side of the road and I ask myself, and I'm sure you've done this too, is that a body? Should I check if it's a body? I'm not kidding you. I've done that. In fact, just the other day, I was exiting by my place, and there was this white tarp. Something was wrapped up in a couple white trash bags, literally in like the merge section of an off ramp. And the way that it looked, it literally looked like a body. It was the shape of a body: the head, the neck, the torso, the legs. And I drove past it at night. And I just looked at it and I'm like, do I go back and look? Do I go back and see what that is? Do I go back? Do I do it? You know, and they kept on my mind for days, and it was out there for days until they finally like got rid of it. And then I was like looking to see if they found a body and they didn't. So I was just being paranoid. But maybe that paranoia is a good thing. You know, maybe that paranoia, that morbid curiosity, or well, really just curiosity, I guess, in the case of Tim Anderson, is what led him to go and check a retention pond to see what exactly was floating in this plastic bin. Now, the other thing too is like, this is where I got to give credit to Mr. Anderson. Is Florida, I've read so many stories about people walking their dogs and gators attacking the dog. And then the people tried to defend the dog and then the owner is killed by the gator. That has happened multiple times. And so when this guy's like, I'm going to go check out this retention pond. Like, is there a gator in the pond? This is Florida. This is Jacksonville. There are gators in Jacksonville. So like this dude maybe wasn't thinking, maybe didn't care. I don't know. Either way, I got to give this guy credit. I got to give this guy a lot of credit because he went out there, you know, and could have been, you know, gator bait and ultimately discovered a homicide victim. So hopefully now the police will be investigating. They'll be able to identify the body and get to the bottom of this very interesting crime. Because much like the last story talking about the body, the mutilated body found in the laundry bag in Philadelphia, this one isn't as crazy, but it is still crazy nonetheless. Because somebody, and I'm assuming it was probably more than one, shoved a body in a sports drink container, effectively, or just like a huge, you know, 5-gallon dispenser, and then hucked it in a retention pond, thinking that would be enough to get rid of it. So whatever happens next is going to be quite fascinating, and I look forward to finding out more. But I always, as always, I want to hear your thoughts, your theories, and your speculation, or if there's any more information on this that I just don't get to in time, by all means, please let me know. So, okay, let's talk about the last story of the day here. Let's talk about the last case of the day. And this is one I've been really wanting to spend more time with because I find it fascinating. So the FBI now is offering $100,000 for information in the 16-year-old cold case of Alonzo Brooks. Now, if you don't remember this particular story, go and watch the new season of Unsolved Mysteries. I think it's episode 2 or 3. But you find out the story of Alonzo Brooks and what happened with him. And I'm telling you guys that it's a crazy story because the dude was done dirty. He was absolutely positively done dirty. And this town that he died in La Cienega, Kansas, is quite frank, it's small. It's like 1,300 people. It's like super small. Somebody there knows something. Somebody there knows something. And somebody there, it felt like it was also maybe potentially covering it up, was potentially finding a way to cover. I don't know. But this is what we know right now. So according to the FBI, they're reaching out to the public yet again. And as they continue to seek information into the 2004 death of Alonzo Brooks in La Cienega, the case was featured in Unsolved Mysteries, which brought a lot of attention into it. A lot of attention to La Cienega, Kansas, a small town, few hundred people. Now, all of a sudden, at the national spotlight of all these true crime aficionados, you know the people I'm talking about, the people like you, the people like me that sit down and eat a bowl of cereal, turn on Unsolved Mysteries, listen to Robert Stack go, maybe you can solve this murder, and go, yeah, probably, right? The people that spend time in these Facebook groups, by the way, True Crime Society, shout out, those girls are great, that dive into these stories and that do the research and they do the data collection. They help out me quite a bit. They're awesome. They're the ones that I think are going to crack this case, and they're the ones that should crack this case because, quite frankly, it's been 16 years and the FBI ain't found shit. Nah, it's about time that you let some civilian detectives come on in there that can pay attention to stuff. Anyway, many hands make for light work is basically the way I'm trying to talk about it. But anyway, this is what it says. The investigation into this cold case was initiated in 2019, and a reward of up to $100,000 for information was announced at a press conference on June 11th. Now, the agency did say that new information has come to light surrounding the evening that Brooks died, and this new information includes the FBI learning that there was another party that same night, a short distance away from where the party was that Brooks attended. Now, that's fascinating. Because the way that Unsolved Mysteries kind of categorized this party, and looking at just in general the town's population, you know, this was essentially the it party. But what happens when you have a party of that size? There's always an after party of some sort, or there's always something else that's going on. So maybe that's what happened. Maybe that's what happened. Maybe that is where Alonzo went. Still doesn't explain how clothing items of his were left behind and where his body was discovered and when it was discovered, because that's all suspicious. So this is what the FBI is looking for right now. And this is where that $100,000, especially during a pandemic when people are out of work, might turn that town on its ear. And that's what I'm waiting for. So the FBI is looking to identify and speak with anyone who attended the party on April 3rd, 2004. And Brooks's body was found a month later in a shallow creek in Linn County, but his death could not be determined due to the body's advanced state of decomposition. Now, there's been rumors and speculation and theories about that, where he was stored in a freezer for a month, and then they found him, and then he was moved there. When whoever had killed him, and sort of, again, theory, speculation, had heard that there was going to be a big push because, you know, they did search parties, found nothing. And then they were going to do one last huge search party and they found the guy within 30 minutes. So clearly someone knew something. Clearly someone had an idea. So it says here that back in July, his body was exhumed by authorities who were taking a new look at the case. You know, again, completely pushed by the popularity of Unsolved Mysteries. The FBI said Brooks was among three black men at the party of nearly 100 people, and that they are investigating the death as a potentially racially motivated crime, which is what I think a lot of us thought. Now, I'm not trying to cast a racist shade over La Cienega, Kansas. I'm not trying to say that Kansasians, whatever they're called, are racist. But racism exists. Systemic racism exists. This is not something that is uncommon and unheard of and unrealistic. It's absolutely realistic that it exists. It's terrible, but it's true. And this was in 2004. So this is a long time ago. people have changed in 16 years, man. But you go back that time and it still gets pretty hairy in some of those parts of town. So there were three black men at that party. And the report that we saw in the show, again, this is dramatized and it's one side of the story. But Brooks was there potentially hitting on a woman. Maybe her boyfriend came on in and he had an issue, or maybe it continued to the next party. We don't know. It could have been an Emmett Till situation where it was just an accusation of impropriety when nothing happened. But of course, he was killed. That's all we know at this point, is that he was killed. So 16 years ago, April 3rd, 2004, a house party with nearly 100 people, 97% of them being white, three being black, or I'm sure there's another denomination in there. And now the FBI is offering a $100,000 reward for information that leads to arrest, prosecution, and conviction of the person or persons responsible for Brooks' death. So this isn't one of those situations where if you just come forward with the info, you get the 100 grand tax-free. It's not that. You got to have solid enough information to put these mother effers away for good. Now, that's going to be the thing. That's going to be the rub. So here's what I'm thinking. Right, like I said, La Cienega, small town, few hundred people, 1,300, I think is what I saw. Everyone talks. Everyone practically knows each other. It's a small town. Somebody obviously knows something. More than one person obviously knows something. But how tight are they? How symbiotic are they? Are they tight enough to ignore the potentiality of $100,000 payday? Are they tight enough to be able to walk away from that kind of cash? That's how you get them. We saw that in Florida earlier this year when you had that triple homicide of those three guys going fishing. And it was a brutal scene with a father showing up and more or less, watching his son almost die, because by the time he got back with help, his son had passed, but he had to leave him. There was no cell service. But the sheriff went out there and the sheriff dropped some truth bombs. $30,000. Narc these bastards out. And literally within, like, I think a day or two, they had the people responsible. Money is the greatest motivator we ever have on this planet. Or sex. But in this case, money. Oh, they could maybe offer sex. I have no idea. They could just drag a fleshlight through the middle of town and go, "Nurr." I'm kidding. But by using that money, by pushing that through, they can get people ready to turn on each other, especially right now when they desperately, desperately might need cash to survive this winter due to a pandemic. So let's see what the stress of mounting bills, the fear of an unseeable virus, and the thought of 100,000 crisp, clean American dollars tax-free. Oh, the next time we hear about La Cienega, my opinion, my speculation, my tinfoil theory, it's going to be lit as fuck. However, I always want to hear what you guys have to say about this, because this is a conversation. So let me know your thoughts and your speculations, because quite frankly, I can't be alone in thinking that it's going to get real in La Cienega very quickly. So, all right, guys, I want to hear your thoughts. So let me know. And that actually wraps up today's episode, episode number 53 in the bag. Crazy stuff going on. Bodies in laundry bags, mutilated corpses, decomposing 18-year-olds, possible ODing, maybe human trafficking. A gunshot victim dead in a retention pond, shoved in a Gatorade container. And of course, the Alonzo Brooks story, which is, in my mind, more fascinating because of Unsolved Mysteries, I'll fully admit. So anyway, if you guys enjoyed the show, do me a solid. Leave a review anywhere you can. Follow me on Instagram at MilkCartonCast. That's Milk Carton. Yeah, I think it's Instagram.com/MilkCartonCast. And if you want to support the channel, come over to Patreon.com/MattJarboe and toss down a dollar or two. Help out. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. Monday to Friday, Milk Carton Mysteries. All right, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have yourself a great day. Don't kill anyone. I think that's a good rule in general. And I'll talk to you later. Have yourself a good one, guys. And peace the hell out.